Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, March 2nd edition of the MBOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. We're here. We're in March. The new year's going by really fast, isn't it? It feels like it is. Well, we had UFC Norfolk on the weekend, and I got to talk about this card because there's a lot to talk about, a lot to unpack from this card. Let's get right into it. First off, a card that I think a lot of people didn't really like at first on paper, but it turned out to be actually a pretty good card. I think there was a lot of really good fights and some really good finishes. There was actually eight finishes, out of the 12 fights. So only four fights went the distance. All five main card fights ended with a stoppage. So a very exciting card. Some really fun fights to watch. And overall, I think this card really surpassed expectations. Like, no one was expecting a good card here. On paper, it looked like one of the weakest cards in a while. It turned out to be a pretty damn good card. So let's get right into it. I got to start with the main event. Davison Figueiredo knocks out Joseph Benavidez in the second round. Devastating fashion. And he should be the UFC flyweight champion right now, but this guy freaking missed weight. What was he thinking? Seriously, what was this guy thinking? We talked about it on Friday, me and Cole. We did a live reaction thing. We were literally watching the weigh-ins when he weighed in heavy. So that was awful. He didn't make the weight. He didn't even get a second attempt because the doctor pulled him from the scales. And he goes in there and knocks Benavidez out. It's just such a bad feeling for Joseph Benavidez to get finished with strikes by a guy who missed weight. Poor guy. You got to feel bad for him. I mean, geez, just one of the nicest guys in the sport, but at the same time, just can't win the big one. 0-3 now in UFC title shots. 0-4 in UFC and WEC title shots. Joseph Benavidez is a great fighter. Just never got that title, and it's going to really hurt his legacy as a mixed martial artist. Like, I think he's one of the most underrated fighters in UFC history, but it doesn't really matter what I think because this guy never won a belt, and it's hard to put him on the greatest fighters of all time list when he doesn't have that championship title to his name. And Figueiredo doesn't have a belt either because he, again, missed weight. So he looked great in this fight. Don't get me wrong. He looked amazing. Gets the knockout in the second round. Devastating knockout, too. It was a brutal, brutal finish, but he doesn't have the belt. Now what? Now what do we do with this division? This division's crazy. All of a sudden, we thought that the division had life support again. Henry Cejudo saved it 2 years ago when he beat Demetrius Johnson. It re-energized the division. Cejudo beat TJ Dillashaw. Everyone thought this division was going to look really good. And then all of a sudden, he vacates his belt, moves to 135, and wins the belt there. And then the UFC tells him to give it up. At 125, he does. We thought we'd have a new champ, and we don't. We don't have a new champ. We have even more confusion than ever. And I actually just wrote an article on MMA Ratings about this. Just mass confusion at 125 or 127 and a half. That would be a better thing to say. Man, it's crazy. So I don't even know what's going to happen next, guys. Like, Cejudo's out there on Twitter now saying he wants to go back and defend his belt, but it's been vacated, so how's he going to do that? Figueiredo says he wants to fight for the belt again, says he's sorry, says he's never missed weight. Benavidez wants a I don't know if he wants a rematch, but there's some people calling for a rematch, which doesn't make any sense to me. He does not deserve a rematch after getting KO'd. I know the guy missed weight, but still, come on. Like, this was a one-sided fight. Benavidez did not look good in this fight. Like, he looked pretty sloppy. Left his hands down, left his chin up. Even the commentators are saying it. Figueiredo catches him with a big right hand, straight right down the pipe, knocks him out. But he was even lighting him up before that. Just a really nice performance by Figueiredo. It just sucks, man. Like, you'd love to be singing the praises of this guy right now, but you can't because he missed weight. So it's just really disappointing. And it puts a huge asterisk on the win for him and just screws the division up even more. So I really have no idea what's going to happen with this division right now. They might shut it down again. They might be like, you know what? Our best fighter is a guy who can't make weight. And Benavidez unlocked success at 135 in the past. So maybe it's just better to close the division down, which sucks because there's obviously some good fighters in this division. But, you know, right now you're looking at Figueiredo versus possibly like Brandon Moreno in a fake title fight again. And you hope Figueiredo makes weight. Like, I don't know if the UFC wants to take that risk. So it's hard to say what's going to happen, guys. All I can say is this was a really nice win for Figueiredo, but it has a huge black mark on it because he did not make the win. All right, co-main event, Felicia Spencer defeats Zara Farron via first round TKO. I mean, this was obviously a squash match. Spencer looked great. I think she's ready for a title shot against Amanda Nunes. Like, there's not much. There's split pickies in this division, guys. Like, there's not much to choose from, and I think she might be one of the top. She obviously is one of the top two choices right now, her and Megan Anderson. We'll talk about in a second here. Actually, I'll talk about Megan Anderson right now, and then I'll get to the Ankle fight after. Anderson, she looked good too, knocking out Dumont in the first round. Like, both of them looked good. They both had a finish. in the first round, and it's really going to come down to whoever the UFC wants to choose to be the next dance partner for Amanda Nunes. I lean towards Spencer a little bit just because she did fight Anderson last year, and she beat her via submission. So I think with that head-to-head win, that should give Spencer a little bit of a leg up for the title shot. But I'll be honest, guys, like, I really don't think either of them really stand a chance against Amanda Nunes. I just think Nunes is way too well-rounded. I think Spencer showed a lot of flaws in her striking defense against Farron, who's not a good fighter. She was getting beat up pretty good until she took the fight to the ground, where obviously she does her best work. And Anderson, she did get the knockout on Dumont, but who's getting pressed a lot against the fence. I'm afraid that if she fights Amanda Nunes, Amanda is just going to take her down and beat her up, just like Holly Holm did. So I really don't give either of these fighters a chance against Amanda Nunes. Again, I would lean towards Spencer a little bit. Like, both of them look good in this card, and I got to give them credit for that. But I just think that Nunes is such a big step up. It's going to be scary. All right, now I've got to get to the Ankalaev-Kudalaba fight. Ankalaev wins by first round TKO, head kick and punches, but come on. I mean, this was one of the worst stoppages in UFC history, if not the worst stoppage I've ever seen. I mean, it was a really bad stoppage by Kevin McDonald, the referee. A veteran ref, he's been around a long time. You've seen him all throughout the years on different cards. Generally a very good ref. You know, he's not a guy you don't hear much about, which is a good thing in my opinion. It's like umpires or referees in the major sports. When you don't hear their names, they're doing a good job. In this particular case, it was a terrible job. Everyone's upset about this, especially Kudalaba's filing an appeal. I don't know if it's going to work because it really is a judgment call, but you know, he was playing possum, he says, and I actually watched the replay a few times. I do believe he was playing possum. The more I watched it, I was like, okay, you know what? He actually really wasn't hurt because he was blocking most of the kicks and the punches. And when the referee stepped in, Kudalaba was actually throwing a punch. It actually connected with Ankalaev, making it an even worse stoppage. So to me, it was just such a bad stoppage. Ankalaev, listen, this guy is really dangerous, though. Don't get me wrong. Like, it sucks because I think this guy is, like, future top 10 material for sure. Like, he's looked amazing lately. He's docking guys out with these kicks. But in this particular case, I think this was a premature stoppage, which sucks for Ankalaev because he might have to run it back. I think the same thing would happen, to be honest. I think Ankalaev would win the fight if they do run it back. But I do think Kudalaba deserves a chance for revenge here because, I mean, this was just a terrible stoppage. Like, really premature. The guy was not out of the fight by any means. You got to let them fight. It's an MMA fight, guys. I mean, I don't know what Ken McDonald was thinking here. I understand that the referee's there to protect the fighter. I understand that completely. But in this particular case, he was just way too quick to step in. And it was an awful stoppage. It really was one of the worst I've ever seen. We've seen a lot of really bad stoppages in MMA, but most of them come on the ground where a referee thinks a guy's choked up and isn't. Like Ben Askren versus Robbie Lawler. I think Herb Dean was the ref there. We all know Robbie Lawler wasn't choked out. He called it a technical submission. But for knockouts, it's rare. Like, there was one, I think it was Herbie actually as well, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan against Sabah Homasi in the UFC a few years ago. He got dropped. Herbie thought he was out. He wasn't. But at least the guy got dropped. In this particular case, I mean, it wasn't even a drop. It was a standing TKO. I'm not against standing TKOs, especially if a guy's getting pummeled. That's fine. But in this particular case, the guy was blocking all the strikes, and the referee still found a reason to stop the fight. So, terrible stoppage by the ref. Embarrassing stoppage. They should probably run it back, although I do think the result will be the same with Magomed Ankalaev getting the win. I think this guy is really good. Also on the main card, Grant Dawson, another guy who missed weight, 149.5, defeats Derek Minner via second-round submission. Good performance by Dawson, but once again, with an asterisk on it. The guy's definitely a good fighter, especially on the ground. Minner looked pretty good in the first round, so it was good to see Dawson kind of fight through that adversary. But, yeah, I mean, we all know this was kind of a squash match as well, Minner taking a short notice. Not really a UFC-caliber fighter. And Dawson gets the win here, and now he is 3-0 in the UFC, 4-0 including Contender Series. The guy's very dangerous. Getting down to the prelims here, Kyler Phillips versus Gabriel Silva. And Phillips, man, what a show this guy put on. They won fight of the night, by the way. Very well deserved. What a show. Like, really great fight. Phillips looked amazing. This guy's striking is so fluid, so good. I was blown away by his performance. To me, he was one of the stars of the night, which unfortunately got overshadowed because of some of the main card performances. But this guy is really good. This guy is a future contender, I think, at 135. He's so well-rounded. His striking's so good. His ground game's so good. I'm very impressed. Gabriel Silva, you know, he just was just a tough guy in this fight. I didn't even know he was Eric Silva's brother, by the way, but he is, which is kind of cool. But, you know, like Eric, he's pretty durable, but the cardio is an issue for sure. And, yeah, Phillips and the takedown defense, just like his brother. Phillips just dominated this fight. It was a great fight, though. It was a very fun fight to watch, mostly because Silva's chin was incredible. But, yeah, Phillips, my God, some of that striking technique we saw was just fantastic to watch. Next up, Brandon Allen defeats Tom Breese via first-round TKO. And I did have Allen here as a dog. My picks were not very good. I don't think anyone's worried. It was a pretty tough card to pick, a lot of upsets. And some weird fights that happened. But Allen, man, he looked good in this fight, and now he is 3-0 in the UFC. This guy is just a dangerous, dangerous fighter. He's looked incredible, man. I mean, I'm blown away by his performance too. I mean, Breeze is, I know he's hasn't fought in a while, but he's still definitely a dominant performance. And I should say he's 2-0 in the UFC, but 3-0 if you include contender series, which I think the UFC actually has been doing. Like when they say the guys' records now, they're including contender series fights. Anyways, Allen looked great, and he called out Trevin Giles for a rematch from their LFA days. Great fight. Love to see it. Next up, Marcin Tybura defeats Sergey Spivak via unanimous decision. This was a terrible fight. Worst fight in the card by a wide margin, in my opinion. Tybura gets the win here. Spivak's his takedown defense was pathetic. And Tybura looked good. Striking looked good. Or not good. His wrestling looked good. His striking looked bad. But he got the win here. Just a terrible fight, though. I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, he looked good against a guy that can't stop a takedown. So I'm not sure what to say about that. And, you know, the Luis Pena, Steve Garcia fight, Luis Pena was apologizing to the fans after. He believes it wasn't a good performance. But, you know, Steve Garcia is pretty tough, and he was able to survive a lot of submission attempts. I don't think it was as bad of a fight as Pena said. The Tybura fight was the worst fight in the card, in my opinion. But, yeah, Pena gets the win here, 30-27 across the board, and he improves to 3-2 in the UFC. Actually, 4-2, excuse me. But, yeah, he's definitely a good fighter. Obviously, Garcia took it on short notice, but you expect Pena to kind of get a step up for his next fight. Next up, Jordan Griffin defeats TJ Brown via submission in the second round with a guillotine. Crazy fight. I mean, Brown was dominating this fight, and then he left his neck out, and Griffin choked him out, and he won a bonus for this. And I should mention Anderson won a bonus as well. But Griffin got the finish here in the second round, and, you know, I wouldn't say it was a great performance. I'm not really sure if it was deserving of a bonus. Like, in my opinion, when you're dominant like Felicia Spencer was, or when you're dominant like Brendan Allen was, that's a little bit more impressive to me, but still definitely a good comeback. And he was going to lose his fight and pulled off the win. So good for him. Jordan Griffin gets his first win in the UFC, and TJ Brown loses his UFC debut. Next up, Spike Carlisle defeats Alon Cruz via first round TKO. You know, this was a quick finish, but honestly, I watched the replay a few times. There was a lot of shots in the back of the head. To me, there were some illegal shots thrown in there. I don't really know if this is a legitimate stoppage. Don't get me wrong. The guy blitzed him, and Cruz couldn't stop it, but there was a lot of back to the head shots, and to me, it looked kind of illegal. Like, the elbow that dropped him originally was a back-of-the-head elbow. Referee didn't see it. Anyway, Spike Carlisle gets the win in his UFC debut as an underdog. Good for him. And opening up the card, Sean Brady defeats Ismael Nardiev via unanimous decision. Basically, Nardiev looked good in the first round of the feat and then got taken down and beat up. Just like Chancellor Encounter did to him, Sean Brady did the same exact game plan. Just beat him up, and now he's 2-0 in the UFC while Ismael drops to 2-2. So, overall, a good card. I mean, it started off a bit slow, but the main card definitely delivered. And like I said, that Phillips fight was awesome. So definitely a good card. And we just have a lot of unanswered questions now. You know, that's the worst part about it. With the flyweight division, with the women's featherweight division, I don't know what's going on with either of the divisions. Anyways, that's going to be it for today's podcast, guys. Tomorrow, I can't wait for this, we'll be breaking down UFC 248, me and Cole. So definitely tune in. Again, I'll be doing my normal podcast at 10 a.m. tomorrow, and then the special edition of the podcast at 11 a.m., breaking down this incredible card. Such a good card. Great main card. Can't wait to do that. But until then, you guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and this podcast is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. That's my home. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back tomorrow morning.